Now, if you would turn with me to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. And we will make this kind of our home base today. And just to begin our time, I'd like to read Proverbs 18, verse 13, which we will refer to a couple of times. Proverbs 18, verse 13. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. A couple of months ago, we enjoyed a thought-provoking and a useful message from Dr. John Street. And he spoke to us about godly communication from Ephesians 4, and he gave four principles of godly communication. If you recall, he said, number one, be honest. Number two, keep current. Number three, attack the problem, not the person. And number four, act and don't react. As Dr. Street pointed out, those principles concern primarily how we use our mouths, what we say, what comes out of our mouth. And he reminded us from Colossians 4, verse 6, let your speech be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each person. He reminded us from Ephesians 4, 15, that we're to speak the truth in what? In love. He reminded us that as believers in Christ, we put off the old self and put on the new self, as outlined in Ephesians 5, 22, 23, and 24. How is that accomplished? It's accomplished by the renewing of our minds in Christ. And so we were reminded how we are to use our mouths. And I think that he was 10 minutes into that message when I decided I wanted to preach on how we use our ears. That I think that's the logical other side to this. I'd like to remind us how we use our ears. So today I'd like to talk about how to successfully listen to others for the glory of God. How to successfully listen to others for the glory of God. Now, you are going to struggle with a great temptation today, and that is to focus your heart and attention on somebody that you think needs to hear this. So, just take the finger and point it back at yourself, and we've got this covered. You're the one who needs to hear this. I'm the one who needs to hear this. And I'm not a great listener. I'm still working at it. All of us need to work at it. And we're going to use Proverbs 18 as kind of our jumping off point, and you can stay there. It'll be our home base. There's a lot of places in Scripture I want to share with you. I would encourage you to maybe just jot down the references as we go. And so let me give you our plan of action. Very structured today, very practical. As Dr. Street said, he called his message a cowman, which is a combination of counseling and a sermon. And so I think that's what we'll do today. Lots of structure, lots of practical lists. So here's my plan. Kind of four things we're going to do. First of all, I'm going to suggest to you a definition for listening. We'll do a definition first. Second, we're going to talk about why to listen. Third, we'll talk about how to listen. And fourth, we'll talk about whom to listen to. So basically, a definition, why, how, and whom. We're going to start fast, and then we're going to slow it down as we go, and we'll spend the most of our time on whom to listen to. So let me suggest a definition, and this is where we have a lot of lists. There's four parts to this definition. We'll see these components kind of come out in various scriptures as we go. The first part, receiving information. That's the easy one. Receiving information, that's taking in data that you didn't know before. The second one is understanding the information. A rock can receive information, but a rock cannot understand the information. Understanding the information, not just going through the motions of looking like you were interested. Like one marriage book I read that told husbands that if you just nod and look interested, your wife will at least think you're listening. That's not listening. Listening is not just hearing. It's someone knowing that you've heard and understood. Sometimes we call this part reflective listening. So there is receiving information, understanding the information. The third part to our definition is acting on the information. Acting on the information, taking action appropriate to the information that you have understood. And then the fourth part is very similar to the third part, acting on the information to the glory of God. Why do we have to add this part, acting on the information to the glory of God? Because if you truly desire to serve Christ, then acting on the information doesn't do so with an attitude of disdain or with a rebellious heart, but acts on it as unto the Lord. So receiving the information, understanding the information, acting on the information, and acting on the information to the glory of God. That's our definition. Like I said, I'm not a great listener myself, but I do recognize the value of making this part of mine and part of your sanctification. So let's talk about why to listen. Why to listen? And this will get us into our text here. We're going to use a lot of different verses from Proverbs 18 and then elsewhere. The first reason to listen. Listening shows true salvation in Christ. Listening shows true salvation in Christ. A person who is so entrenched in pride is unable to hear. Now, to be fair, Christians get that way as well. I have been that way. You have been that way. But if that's the pattern, so entrenched with pride, you're unable to hear. You're unable to consider another person's point of view. When this is so automatic and habitual and embedded in a person, even when they're asked to listen, it may be demonstrating that that person is unable to think about anybody but himself. And that could be the mark of an unbeliever, what the book of Proverbs calls a fool. Look with me at verse 2 of chapter 18. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. This is a person for which all conversations are about take, not give and take. If you've ever talked to a person like that, you sort of feel like either killing him or yourself when you're done. It's a horrible experience. That was completely one-sided. This is the person who's often smart, often intelligent, but they're so self-focused that they can't stop long enough to put himself in another person's shoes. In fact, regarding being able to listen to the Lord, and we'll talk more about that later, Jesus said numbers of times, for example, in Matthew 11, he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him what? Hear." It's an unregenerate person who is unable to hear. He says, "If you have ears to hear," meaning you have spiritual ears, that you have been had your heart opened. You're able to take in spiritual truth. Jesus also put it this way in John 8:47. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. Did you hear that? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. So the first reason to listen to show true salvation in Christ. There's another reason to listen. Listen to decrease sin. Listen to decrease sin. This brings us back to Proverbs 18:13. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. Not only is it shameful, it is his folly. Literally, it is his foolishness. It's a word that means his heart has thickened, it's congealed, it's hardened up. Or as one source reads it, he's entered, quote, a state of being devoid of wisdom and understanding with a focus on the evil behaviors which occur in this state. Meaning that the person who won't listen, not only won't listen, but continues to increase sin and increase transgression. Because they won't stop. Here's a third reason to listen. Listen to avoid the severe discipline of the Lord. Listen to avoid the severe discipline of the Lord. Proverbs 29 verse 1. He who is often reproved, yet stiffens his neck, will suddenly be broken beyond healing. This is the person who hears the same thing over and over again, and yet stiffens his neck. This is the person of Proverbs 27, verse 22. I love this verse. Crush a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, yet his folly will not depart from him. Some of you have children like this, and you understand this. I've told you this 200,000 times. And you're still not getting it. Now, this is not the person that you tell the same thing over and over again, and they keep repenting and yet keep failing. Dr. Biederbach last week covered that person. Luke 17, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. When you're hearing the same thing repeatedly and yet thinking in your mind how wrong the other person or often other people must be, then the admonition of the writer of Hebrews is your warning signal. Hebrews 12:5, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. What's the choice that we have? listen to people or you will listen to God. Which one would you rather have? A, listen to people who won't strike you dead, or B, listen to God who has the right to strike you dead. This is not a hard choice. Now, the Lord is very loving and he's very kind, and when there's an area of sanctification that he has decided he is going to conquer in your life, he will not give up until it's done. He simply won't. And so he sends people into our lives, some of them we like and some of them we don't. They're all from him. We believe in God's sovereignty to help us along that way. You need that. I need that. Let me give you one more reason to listen, and this one is very practical and very useful to us. Listen to build right and deep relationships. Listen to build right and deep relationships. Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy." The fact is, if you choose to stay aloof, such that you seek only your own desire but not trying to understand the viewpoint of others, if you seek to be one who must be heard but never be one who listens, eventually you'll languish in a life filled with acquaintances but no friends. And that's a sad place to be. As a matter of fact, the very first verse here in Proverbs 18 says, verse 1, "Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment." You could finish this common phrase, "I just need a listening ear." It's very simple. When Paul told the Roman church how to love one another, he told them in Romans 12:15, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep." Now, what does that strongly imply? It strongly implies somebody who was listening first, who sat down and heard your story, heard why you were rejoicing, heard why you were weeping, and understood intimately those details. They listened first to the heart. And by the way, this can include listening to those who are weeping because of you, that maybe you're the cause. So, there's four reasons to listen. I want to talk about how to listen, and we're going to slow this down a little bit more. How to listen, because this is not natural for all of us. In fact, I would say it's not natural for most of us, because we are sinners, and we would rather be heard than listen. And so I want to give you five components to listening well. Five components to listening well, how to listen. First one, stay in the moment. Stay in the moment. Again, Proverbs 18, verse 13, "If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame." What do we call that? Interrupting. Now, that could be what this is speaking of. It could be the habitual interrupter, the one who's thinking only of what he wants to say. I've done it. You've done it. It's a human tendency. Or maybe someone who uses verbal interruption on purpose to sinfully try to manipulate and control a conversation, to dominate rather than communicate. The habitual interrupter is often filled, at least at that moment, with pride and can't bear the pain of listening to some idol in his life being torn down. It's usually why we interrupt, because I don't want to hear what I'm hearing. Another proverb helps us how to understand how to stay in the moment. Two verses later, Proverbs 18, verse 15, "An intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." Staying in the moment means that you're genuinely seeking to learn something. By the way, that's a good way to take some of the emotion out. There are situations where every one of you, myself included, have trouble listening because our emotions get in the way. But if you're trying to learn something, it helps with that, and I need to remember that. Now, what's the usual pattern in intimate relationships? Here's the usual pattern. Person number one says, "You have been doing ABC." Person number two says, "Well, you've been doing ABC worse." How helpful is that? "Oh yeah, well, you've been doing A, B, C, and D, E, F." "Well, you've been doing the whole alphabet worse." "Oh yeah, well, you've been doing other languages worse." "Well, you've been doing alien languages, Klingon, and other things worse." Doesn't do any good. Doesn't help. It's useless. Proverbs 14:8 says, "The wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way." The wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way. In other words, you might look really smart or even wise by giving a sharp, quick-witted answer which withers your opponent, but But the second half of that verse is the folly of fools is deceiving. It's the folly of fools to give a quick answer, to be quick-witted, rather than to show wisdom. It is to show foolishness. What does the prudent person do? He tries to discern his way, tries to objectively examine information that's being presented to him. Here's a second component of how to listen. Remember that your mouth is your own worst enemy. Remember that your mouth is your own worst enemy. To my knowledge, it is the only part of the body that an entire chapter has been written about in the Bible, in James chapter 3. It is the most dangerous one. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. And if your mouth is continually a source of pain to others, remember this warning back in Proverbs 18, verse 19. A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city, and quarreling is like the bars of a castle. What does that mean? It means that no matter how many times somebody may have read Luke 17, no matter how many times they believe they ought to forgive you, the fact is we are humans, we are sinful, and you can offend somebody a number of times so that they begin to struggle with being able to forgive you, that they're beginning to put up walls and bars and castles and citadels. We have another warning in verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruits. In other words, it's possible to kill a relationship with your tongue. If those closest to you learn to expect that you can't listen or you only give venom or self-pity back, you'll become the person that others endure, not that others are blessed by, and you don't want to be that person. Nobody wants to get up in the morning and say, I think I'll make everybody around me just endure me today. That's not what we're doing. Consider these two verses in Proverbs 18, verses 6 and 7. A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. Don't take that too literally. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. Or consider Proverbs 12, verse 18. There's one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Now, if you think your tongue will help you listen better, how come none of you have your tongue hanging out right now? I really want to listen better, so I'm just going to have it out there. It doesn't help except for one way, and that is to use your tongue to say, may I ask for clarification so I understand you better. That's a good use of the tongue. Here's another how to listen. Listen with the possibility of changing your point of view. Listen with the possibility of changing your point of view. Proverbs 18, verse 17. The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. We have blind spots. We have behaviors that we're unaware of. Another perspective can be helpful. Now, sometimes your thoughtful response might be, thank you for taking the time to point this out, and I'm going to respectfully disagree for these reasons. But at least you listened. But if those around you are 100% certain that talking to you is useless because you will always default back to your point of view every time, you'll burn bridges and ultimately your life will be characterized by an inability to maintain genuinely intimate relationships. And that's a sad way to be as a Christian. If the moment someone begins to speak, you've already decided that you're not going to consider the alternative perspective, you have entered the realm of what Proverbs calls a fool. Here's a fourth reason, or fourth how to listen, rather. Listen with the attitude that information is a gift. Listen with the attitude that information is a gift. Yes, even information about yourself. Proverbs 19, verse 20, just in the next chapter. Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. A wise and maturing believer is hungry for knowledge, eager to learn, eager to grow. How can you tell the difference between someone who's responding as a wise believer versus someone who, at least in the moment, is responding as a fool? How do you tell? The fool says, how dare you? The wise says, thank you. You see the difference? Proverbs 1:22 says fools hate knowledge. Proverbs 12:1 says the wise love knowledge. Very clear difference here. Let me do one more in the how-to. Listen with the intention to act on that knowledge. And this goes back to our definition. Listen with the intention to act on that knowledge. This is the objective of taking knowledge to the level of action. To do just one little thing differently. one thing differently. What do we call that in theological terms? We call that progressive sanctification. We call it Christ-likeness. I'm doing something differently now than I did a month ago or a year ago. That's growth. That's maturity. So, how do you listen? Stay in the moment. Remember that your mouth is your own worst enemy. Listen with the possibility of changing your point of view. Listen with the attitude that information is a gift. And listen with the intention to act on that knowledge. Now, let me illustrate this with something probably most of you can relate to, and that is political liberalism. Now, I'm not preaching a sermon against political liberalism, although the temptation is almost overwhelming at times. But the problem with political liberals is that they can't listen. They can't consider actual facts. They won't consider changing the point of view. They don't view information as a gift. They view information as a threat. And so instead of listening, what do? They shut down public speeches. They cry in the streets. They make themselves out to be victims. They joke about and they act with violence on those that they disagree with because they can't listen. They're incapable of an exchange of ideas because they're not interested in truth. They're interested in their agenda. I don't know how anybody can be married to a person like that. That's a hard person to be around. And they show themselves in most, if not all cases, to be unregenerate. In other words, don't be that person. Don't be that person that is impossible to talk to. Now, I want to spend the rest of our time talking about whom to listen to. Whom to listen to, and we've kind of got our foundation built now. First, listen to those who are over you. Listen to those who are over you. The Bible clearly demonstrates that one of the qualities of a regenerate person is that he or she values submission. A true Christian values submission. We submit to governing authorities. We submit to qualified church leadership. We submit to workplace authority. Wives submit to husbands. Husbands submit to Christ. Children obey the children submit to parents in obedience. We value this. Someone who says, "I do not value submission," can't be a Christian because you didn't submit to Christ because he's the one who said to submit. The true believer values and listens to authorities short of being asked to sin. The Apostle Paul gives us some really terrific advice, some terrific, easy to understand admonitions about listening to those in authority over you. Listen to Paul's command about the relationship of Christian slaves to their masters. And listen to this. Ephesians 6, beginning of verse 5, says, "Bondservants, douloi, slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free." Now, I bring up this particular passage because the Apostle Paul included all four elements of our definition of listening. Receiving information. The slave has received orders to obey. Understanding the information with fear and trembling. What does that mean? That's a desire to understand the information, not just a nonchalant attitude. Acting on the information. He obeys. The Greek word that comes from the Greek word for listen. In other words, the Greek word for obey is similar to the Greek word for listen. It is to listen in order to obey. And then acting on the information to the glory of God from a sincere heart as you would Christ. Doing the will of God from the heart. Rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. Let me give you an example. A very, very spiritual and lofty example from Chick-fil-A. I think that's a good place to go. Employees at Chick-fil-A, I have noticed, are taught and trained to be kind, to be courteous, and even to use correct terminology to show respect for their customers. And I've noticed this. I've been in there enough to get the terminology. They don't say, "Do you want a refill?" They say, "May I refresh your drink?" Who says that anymore? They don't say, "Next." They say, "May I serve the next customer?" And they don't say, "Wow, you're eating enough for an army." They say, "Excellent choice." No matter what you order, they'll say, "Excellent choice. Just ask for a cup of water. It's hot outside. That's an excellent choice." Now, outwardly, they're submitting to their employer. But only God knows the true heart. An employee might be following up those phrases with more revealing thoughts. May I refresh your drink for the 15th time? I can serve the next customer in this endless line that reminds me that I hate my life. Excellent choice. Big surprise, you got chicken. It reveals the heart. What does Ephesians tell us? Paul says, when you submit, it is from the heart. You do it with a reality that I'm serving the Lord Jesus. Listening to those who are over you is what God asks of us, for example, in the church. And I would say that it is in fact a key to a healthy and happy local church. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they're keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. As an elder, and all the other elders here can attest to this, every member of Grace Bible Church willingly and eagerly signs the membership covenant that says, I will submit to the elders of Grace Bible Church. But sometimes the moment when we have to say, there's a sin in your life that you need to deal with and we're going to help you, all of a sudden that goes out the window. And let me tell you what happens to an elder at that point. Our joy goes to groaning. What is the key to a healthy, happy church? It is submission. It is submission. And just so you think I'm not just saying that because I'm in the ivory tower or whatever, I get just as much joy from submitting to authority as I do to being submitted to. Either way, there's a joy to it. In fact, Paul put it this way in his first letter to the Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. In fact, he takes it a step further that he doesn't do in the realm of slaves and masters. He says, esteem them highly in love. He doesn't tell slaves, you have to love your master. He says, you have to respect him and submit to him. One of the most popular questions I get as a pastor, usually by email, how do I submit to my husband? What does that mean? Ephesians 5:33 commands wives, let the wife see that she respects her husband. What's the easiest way to do that? Listen to him. Listen. Hear him as unto the Lord. There is a stunning example in the book of Acts of a man listening to those in authority over him when everything in him and everything in you would say not to do so. And it's the Apostle Paul. He submitted not only to someone who was over him, but he submitted to an evil person who was over him. He listened. Paul was under arrest for his witness to the gospel, and by his request, he was brought to the chief priests and the ruling council of Jerusalem so that he could know why he was under arrest. He didn't know why he was arrested. He wanted to know what the accusation was. Acts 23, beginning of verse 1, records this exchange. And I, looking intently at the council, Paul said, brothers, I have lived my life before God in all good conscience up to this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by him to strike him in the mouth. Then Paul said to him, God is going to strike you, you whitewashed wall. Are you sitting to judge me according to the law? And yet contrary to the law, you order me to be struck? Ooh, that's telling me, yeah, you got him. Paul let him have it. But there's more. Those who stood by said, would you revile God's high priest? Different story now. Paul said, I did not know, brothers, that he was the high priest, for it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. The Apostle Paul, completely in the right, still apologized for speaking against the high priest, even though the high priest was a wicked man. And did you notice what Paul did? He immediately applied scripture to his own situation. I shouldn't have done this because the Bible says. May we all attain to that standard. Who do you listen to? Listen to those who are over you. Listen to those who are under you. Listen to those who are under you. Listen to those who are over you. There's a certain easiness to that because consequences can happen if you don't. And so we're motivated. Listen to those who are under you. The same Ephesians passage which addresses how slaves are to treat masters also addresses the reverse relationship. Ephesians 6:9, masters, do the same to them and stop threatening. knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Paul says, do the same. Do the same what? Well, the context, we go back to the last command, which is given in the text in verse 7 to the slaves, rendering service with a good will to the Lord and not to man. Wait a minute. The master is supposed to serve the slave as well? Yes. Yes. There is a stewardship. There is a caretaking. There is a responsibility. The cry of oppressed underlings reaches the ears of the Lord. The book of James chapter 5 talks about this when James denounces professing believers who take advantage of those under them. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. So how's the master supposed to know how to render service to the slave? By listening. By having an open door policy, even by being willing to accept correction, which, by the way, creates a fabulous working relationship. It's good policy. Here's another arena in which we listen to those under us. Ephesians 6:4 commands fathers and by extension mothers, do not provoke your children to anger. What is it that provokes children to anger? Feeling like they don't have a voice, feeling like that they don't matter, like they don't count. Children get angry when their parents can't get along. They get angry when parents emotionally pass on financial stress or other kinds of stress to their children. They get angry when basic needs aren't met. They get angry when their home that they live in isn't cared for. They get angry when they're treated like slaves and not like contributing members of the household. There's all kinds of reasons that children get exasperated. But you want to really provoke a child to anger? Always be right and never be wrong. Ever. That will provoke a child. Goes for adult children too, by the way. It is the wise leader who occasionally takes the pulse of the followers, who receives input, considers that input, and implements that input. Let me give you a third in the category of whom to listen to. Listen to those equal to you. Listen to those equal to you. Now, equal to you, it means that you don't have a relationship based in authority with this person. But I will say this, relationships with Christians are sometimes dual relationships. Your child is under your authority, but if he's saved, he's also your brother or sister in Christ. A marriage relationship is a dual relationship. It's not just husband and wife, but it's also brother and sister in the Lord. Christians who work for other Christians have this dual relationship as well. So how do you listen to one who's equal to you? As you're making these lists, let me give you two thoughts. First, listen respectfully. That's hard for all of us. It's hard. The Apostle Paul had a dual relationship with his churches. He was an apostle sent from God, but he was also equal. He opens his letter to the Philippians, listing himself and Timothy simply as servants, servants of Christ Jesus. But then he equally says in chapter 4, verse 9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. In other words, we're equal, but I'm not afraid to say, here's some things in my life that you ought to be emulating, you ought to be taking as an example. There is no record of the Philippians saying, who does he think he is? We do have a record of the Corinthian church saying, who does he think he is? This is the book of 2 Corinthians. If you teach those around you that they're taking their life in their own hands, if they ever dare give you any constructive thoughts, ultimately, it's going to harm you. It's going to harm your relationships. So, listen respectfully. The other thought, to listen to those equal to you, listen gratefully. Listen gratefully. Proverbs 16, verse 20, whoever gives thought to the word, in this context, any matter brought to your attention, whoever gives thought to the word will discover good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. In other words, anyone who's speaking truth in your life is to be thanked. There's to be a gratitude accompanying listening to an equal. Have you ever had some horrible thing go wrong with your clothing or something on your face that shouldn't be there? And I won't take it any farther than that in detail. And somebody comes up and points it out. And the first thing you do is get mad. Hey, look, I was just trying to help you out. I could have left it there all afternoon. When we do that emotionally, listen gratefully. There's one last person I want to talk about listening to. Listen to those over you, under you, equal to you. Listen to the Lord. Listen to the Lord. Now, in a general sense, remember that if God is sovereign, anyone he sends across your path is to speak into your life. Even the person who's spouting nonsense at you has been sent to test your patience and to help you learn to listen. But to listen to the Lord is really the imperative of the believer, and never in Scripture is God clearer about what it means to listen when he speaks of listening to him. The famous Shema, from the Hebrew word to hear, to listen, is given in Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. Hear, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. That Moses says that the Lord is one. What is this? This is a declaration of allegiance, that he's the only one. He's the only one that we should be hearing, the only one we should listen to. It's a cry for fidelity and for loyalty. But when Moses says, hear, O Israel, to the Hebrew mind, there is an automatic correlation, an automatic assumption that Moses is saying, hear, so that you might obey. In fact, when Moses was preaching to Israel in the same sermon in Deuteronomy, we see that dynamic repeatedly. Deuteronomy 5, verse 1, and Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and the rules that I speak in your hearing today, and you shall learn them and be careful to do them. Hear, do. Moses reminded them at Mount Sinai that their fathers had pledged allegiance and obedience to the Lord. He reminded them in Deuteronomy 5:27 that they said when Moses received the law, he's saying, this is what your fathers said. Go near and hear all that the Lord our God will say, and speak to us all that the Lord our God will speak to you, and we will hear it, and we will do it. Deuteronomy 6, verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you. You understand that hearing the Lord is the same as doing what the Lord says. And of course, if you know your Bible, you're hearing the echo of this in the New Testament. In James chapter 1, when James tells the Jewish believers to whom he's writing, how to listen to preaching. He says this, know this, my beloved, beginning in verse 19, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Why do we do sermons instead of conversations? Because sermons give you time to get mad, repent, get over it, and do what you're told. Conversations do not give you that time to do that. That's why when people say, we don't preach, we have a conversation. That's not a biblical way to communicate truth. A biblical way to communicate truth is for God to speak and us to be quiet. And then James gives the logical outcome of listening, and you can almost hear Moses kind of sitting on James's shoulder, telling him what to say, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, then he gives this illustration. He's like a guy who looks in the mirror and then goes away and forgets what he saw. He didn't take in the word of God. Paul gives to Titus what is essentially a preaching guide in Titus chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1, he says, as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Then he gives this long list of commands to give to the church. But the Apostle Paul ends this section with a powerful admonition to Titus. He gives him an order, gives him a command concerning the importance of people hearing the preached word. He says in Titus 2, verse 15, declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no one disregard you. In other words, sermons from Scripture are not suggestions, they are orders. And the Christian follows orders. We listen. There's an insistence, a persistence, a doggedness to preaching that says, do not ignore what is being said to you. Don't do it. Well, if you want to be a mature Christian, you're a listening Christian. You listen to those over you, under you, equal to you, and you listen to the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, did you know that your salvation is dependent on the fact that he was a good listener? The writer of Hebrews reminds us that Christ himself was obedient. Listen to this. Hebrews 5, verse 8. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. We have this trouble with this word Jesus and learned in the same sentence, right? Because we believe in the deity of Christ. What does this mean? It means that he demonstrated that he could submit to authority. He suffered. He submitted. I'm so glad that when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and when he asked his Father that if it is possible, could this cup pass from me? Is there any other way other than the cross? And his Father's silent answer was, there is not. I'm glad Jesus was a listener who obeys. I'm glad that in 1 Peter 2:23, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. I'm glad that in Philippians 2:8, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You see, if Jesus Christ wasn't a perfect listener, you're doomed, because he doesn't go to the cross and we're lost. Listening and obeying go hand in hand, and even the Lord Jesus demonstrated that to his glory and for your good. Four parts to our definition: receiving information, understanding the information, acting on the information. Acting on the information, what? To the glory of God. My hope for you, my hope for me, my hope for us as a body, is that we be characterized as good listeners. As good listeners. Our Father, we come to you asking for power because we need it. We are sinners and we are not able to just take your word and apply it in our own strength. We can't do it. We are incapable. But Lord, what we do have is that precious gift of the Holy Spirit. And I would pray right now, even at this very moment, I would pray that the Holy Spirit would drive these nails home, that you would apply this word preached today to the hearts of every person listening to this, that we would be convicted, Lord. I know there are people here today who know that they have messed up relationships because they will not listen, because they've been prideful, they've been rebellious. Let today be the day they turn that around. Lord, let today be the day that they proceed in growth to become much more like Christ, who was the perfect listener, who listened to you, who always obeyed everything that you commanded him to do. And so, Lord, we would pray for each person here to be a little bit more like Christ after this day. May we be those who communicate well with our tongues and communicate well with our ears as well, Lord. All for the glory of Christ, so that we might look just more and more like him, so that we would honor him. We pray for his sake. Amen.